And welcome to an open phone day today. Steve Hexum with you. Patrick Fee will be coming in. It is the last open phone day of the year. I know. We will be off next week, and we will have the Doug Steffen Show in that 9 o'clock hour next week. But it is a chance to chat, hopefully, and maybe get your thoughts on Christmas in general, Christmas memories. We thought last year that Christmas was going to be pretty much back to normal. Does it seem that this the COVID and the virus seems to have just simply been on forever? Yes, it does feel that way, at least to me. I think what's sad is it was raging in October of 2019 in Wuhan. And I was reading a story this past weekend about a journalist trying to report about the fact of what was going on in Wuhan, who's now in jail and sentenced, and she's in jail indefinitely. She's on a hunger strike. She may die in jail. But it just goes to show, this whole mess that we've been dealing with. I've had both my shots, and I've bed my booster, and I've got a strong immune system, so I feel relatively secure that things will be good. One of the things that we've got here in Iowa that has been a problem, and maybe it's in other states too, my wife was talking about the fact, just try and find a test kit, or the immediate test kit. Right now, we've got we got NFL teams and that are facing these COVID requirements, trying to put a team together. There's games that were canceled. In fact, we don't know for sure if there's going to be an Iowa State game against Chicago State, because Chicago State has too many players out because of the COVID protocol. Now, maybe this is the Omicron variant, or maybe it isn't. I've had two different things on this. The Omicron variant as really being the beginning, if not the end, of the virus. Dr. Ken Kronhaus, who was heard with Doug Steffen on our Saturday morning Good Day Health sequence, has said that the 1918 pandemic ended when the variants became weaker and weaker, the variants or various mutations, that'd be probably a better way to put it, and it finally became basically the common cold or a version of the flu. Will that be the case for this? It may be. It does seem to be less virulent. It does seem to be less strong. And those people that have been vaccinated seem to have much less problem with it. But even those who haven't been vaccinated, its hospitalization rate is far less than the Delta variant. So I don't know. It's it's one of those things. It's kind of got, and I know people will say, can we talk about something besides the variant? Okay, yes, we can. We could talk about something besides COVID. I just hope that you can have a chance to get together with your families and have a regular Christmas holiday. I've got daughters in California and a daughter in Chicago. Both of them are going to be coming in on Christmas Day, of all days. So we're dealing with, actually, my wife said something to me, and I got Patrick Fee joining me. Pat, good morning to you.
Good morning.
So just talking about it. My wife said to me, you know, that I've got a daughter that lives in town, and I've got two grandsons. Now, the grandsons are big. I mean, they're high school and one's out of the house. You know, and so we're going to have them over for Christmas Eve dinner. And I've got my sister, my twin sister, and her significant other going to be with us as well. And we'll have my father-in-law, who's 97 years old.
Wow.
He'll be a World War II veteran. I've told this story before. He was on the ship. He was on the ship. He had boarded. He was on the ship over on the way for the invasion of Japan in 1945.
Was it? When all of a sudden?
In late July and August of 1945, he was on a ship that was on the way for the invasion of Japan.
Until those couple little explosions stopped everything.
Yeah, two bombs. And it was like, the ship kept going, but it became a post-war. They became all involved in the post-war setup. I believe he ended up in the Philippines. Doing some work there in terms of helping to the transition from a wartime to a peacetime environment. But nobody knew. Can you imagine being on a ship? Knowing especially how ruthless, and the Japanese don't surrender. Let's face it.
Right. Well, many times they didn't take prisoners either.
No, no prisoners, no surrender, nothing. Yeah, it's.
Well, back to your original point, I think it's interesting how, you know, you're looking at a multi-generational celebration, but how much it does change and morph as kids get older and, you know, how do you do things some of your traditions in the family change.
Yes.
A little bit,
yeah.
You know. I've noticed as you're in a household where people get older, you tend to start, you know, doing the whole let's open presents thing a little bit later because you're happy to get a day you can sleep in.
My wife said, I was just getting point to the point. She said, do you realize that we will not have, there will be no one is spending the night at our house on Christmas Eve other than us? That has not happened since we've been married. It's never happened.
that's one of those happy sad moments, isn't it? I mean,
yeah.
It's something different, and sometimes something different is kind of neat. But it also, you know, you're wondering if you're saying goodbye to certain traditions, or if you're just putting them on pause until you've got another generation that will be coming in and needing to stay over.
I think this whole COVID thing, and I was just talking about the fact is, you know, we've got this Omicron variant, which appears to be milder in general, but also much more contagious than the other variants. But it does seem to be, if you've had both shots and a booster, it does seem to be you have a much less likelihood of getting this infection. If you haven't had any, you're more likely, very likely to get it. But it is Dr. Ken Kronhaus, who's on our Good Day Health show, he said this may be, not that you really want to get it, but he said it may be the fact that once the more people that do get it, the closer and we do get to being out of the woods and back into this thing, will then emerge other variants. Typically, if this follows the pattern of 1918 and or follows the pattern of the other epidemics, or excuse me, pandemics, you see mutants that become less weaker and weaker as the time goes by, eventually becomes a common cold and instead of a pandemic, you got an endemic. And then we can say, okay, well, you know what, we can cross this one off our list, but we're not there yet.
And the hard part is finding out, you know, is
and we don't know
our leaders knowing, yeah, not knowing, and also how much curtailing of our normal lives do we need at a minimum, you know, so we can be as less invasive to what we want to do as far as working and seeing people and getting around, and still being careful that we're not aiding in what do they call those?
Abetting.
Those micro, you know, those super spreader things.
Oh,
right?
Yes.
And so how do we do that?
Well, I can't imagine. What's happened? Well, here's a good example. What's happened? All of the Broadway plays, pretty much all of them, they've shut down again. Okay. I'm going to guess the celebration in Times Square will be, I'm not sure what's going on.
Well, it was interesting. They were just talking about that. You know me, I'm that guy who flips back between Fox and Fox News and MSNBC, and then it'll pop over to CNN. So I kind of get a smattering of all of them. And Fox was talking this morning about wondering if our fine mayor of the city was going to cancel everything again, or if we are going to have it, or if we're going to have it at some restricted level. So we'll see how all that works.
The Rockettes have canceled the rest of the season. Broadway is shutting down. We've got New York is going into, they're going back into a more restrictive mode. Europe is nuts right now. Have you read about what's going on there?
I think in some cases, I think there's a little bit of overreaction, but maybe, you know, there's some things that you can do and just be cautious, like you said. If we look at, you're right, Rockettes are shut down, but the big Nutcracker program that happens down in, I can't remember the famous theater. I'm sorry, I'm going to get it wrong, but in Atlanta, that's still going on. And that's a New Year's Eve thing for decades.
And basketball games, they're still playing to full houses. Base football games are playing to full stadiums.
Although
finding a team that can play there might be a tough one. As I said, we might have right now Chicago State is their COVID protocol. They don't have enough players to field a team right now because of COVID. They had to cancel a game on Saturday. Now they're scheduled to play tomorrow night on our sister station, Fox Sports, with Iowa State and Chicago State. May not happen.
Well, and then the question becomes, is that how it needs to happen, or do the protocols need to be reevaluated?
I think they will change. I think that they're already looking at changing and modifying the way they do it. Well, we were talking earlier. I was talking with Eden Mode, who's doing our news while Colin is off. Different school districts and different businesses have different requirements. Some basically say, "Hey, if you're unless you are feeling really sick, it's not a matter of if you are asymptomatic or virtually no." As long as you're able to get to work, go to work, and which is really what has been the case. I think the other thing we have in this state here, a dramatic scarcity of these test kits, these home test kits. That is kind of, I don't know. It's like we've got this. Somebody said, "Has the world ever been, or has a country ever been more divided than it is now between the Republicans and the Democrats, and between the vaxxers, the vaccine to the anti-vaxxers, to the red, to the blue state?" And I say, if you want to see division, if you really want to see division, go back to Chicago in 1968. go back to the fact that we had Vietnam split this country into, it basically split it, it's the pro versus anti-Vietnam sentiment or anti-draft sentiment. It was nuts. It was, peace, and that war went on. We thought that war went on forever. The war that really went on forever was the war in Afghanistan.
That's true. Well, I got to tell you one thing, Steve. I think that the difference is some of the different things piggyback on top of each other now. So back then it was, are you for the war or against the war? You had Democrats and you had Republicans that were for the war and against the war. Now a lot of the things that we have coming out of these things become not only are you for or against something, but also the parties are for or against them, and even location wise, where you're at, you have issues with for and against. I mean, I hear a lot come from Fox News in particular about those cities that are doing incredibly liberal things, New York, Chicago, L.A., and San Francisco. But then at the same time, I realized, wait a second, those are our four largest cities. So is it a matter of, really is it a matter of politics, or is it a matter of larger populations that might, that might not get along as well, as some of the smaller areas like we're in here now? So a lot of things are being thrown against the wall with the idea of politics instead of the actual issue itself and see what sticks politically.
Well, and Donald Trump has found a way to remain in that figurehead position. The adage is, you've heard the adage before, if you tell a lie and you tell it convincingly and you tell it over and over and over again, eventually it's going to stick. Eventually people are going to say, maybe the steal really did happen.
Well, I think it's intriguing. One thing that's different about this when I look at history, and you know, I tend to be, I think, a little bit more conservative fiscally, but liberal in certain taking care of our people around us type of way. But the bottom line that I find interesting is I am old enough to remember a certain fear by some people that when Nixon left the White House, that he was going to, you know, still cause a lot of noise and stuff, and he really didn't. A couple other people that have gotten out of there that we thought we'd hear more of on both left and right side, with the Clintons, although we did Mrs. Clinton, but not with Mr. Clinton. So some of these things, you know, so he has found whatever the magic juju is to stay relevant or at least to stay noisy.
I think he barges into the element.
And he does have the possibility of running again. So that adds
I think he definitely will run again. The only thing that's going to stop him from running again could be. Depending upon what happens on this January 6th situation, the Americans sat horrified. I know. I remember watching it for the first time. You said, "Have you seen this?" You called me. "Have you seen this?" And I said, "No, really? Oh my gosh!" And the fact that we had, I think the thing that came out last week was probably the most significant thing that's going to stick. Mark Meadows was the chief, or he was the he was chief of staff, and all of these texts from all of these people that were extraordinary Trump supporters, and I'm talking Sean Hannity, who was his de facto campaign manager, and Laura Ingraham, and you can go down the list, all of them sending texts. You've got to do something. You've got to address the nation. You've got to stop this. You've got to get people back. This is going out. This is going out of control. You've got to do, and nothing was done. And the only backstory that we have on that is that there was nothing going on because Trump was running around the White House, turning on every television, making sure and being in a, you know. It was almost a celebratory mood.
I would like to, you know, I'm interested in seeing what comes out of this in the long run because I'd like to know more about what was going on there. But
I think it will come out eventually. Yes.
But I think that a part and parcel of all this is that what I've seen in the last, I'll say, 25 years is that when someone's caught in a bad, in an incorrect situation, I'll just say in a tough situation, when a number of Republicans have been caught in a tough situation, they double down. Okay, they're playing Texas Hold'em on it, you know, and through it.
Right.
In a number of cases, when I've seen certain Democratic candidates get in a tough situation, they, you know, move almost immediately to an apologetic stance, and I think overall, the one thing is Americans appreciate a person who's all in. And whether they agree with them or not, there's something about the nature of our country and where we came from.
You mean doubling down?
Doubling down. We're in for the long haul. We're gonna, you know, support whoever it is. And so I think sometimes that works against the party on the left because they will tend to be more apologetic, pull back a little bit and such. And I think sometimes that that causes some grief.
Well, and I think the fact that we're facing right now, we're facing some issues that we haven't faced a lot. Afghanistan was a disaster. We know that. Inflation, it's going, it's surging, it's back. We've been told it's just a temporary thing. The containment or the and the and the and the the backlog at the ports in California, and the delivery container and containment and delivery system that has been broken, and it has been there's a lot of problems that are going on right now. And I think the fact that we don't seem to, and also this whole $2.2 trillion thing, now Joe Manchin has said he's not going to vote for it. The thing is, when you're that thin and you don't have when you're that thin of a voting margin, the fact is, I think people are just like, right now, look, I don't know if I can take any more. Do you know what I mean?
I agree with you. I think what will be interesting to see in the next 4 to 8 years is if Joe Manchin remains relevant at all. If we come around what normally happens in the midterm elections and the left loses the Senate, does he just disappear into the woodwork? He has been a man who has had to walk an interesting line in a fairly red state to be of the blue party. Some of this is just, it's also what we're told to worry about, right? It's the news and everybody says. Let's look at, a great example is, when President Trump was in office, we were always looking at how high the stock market was going, okay? And that was a great identifier of how well we were doing. Well, the stock market is way higher than it was under him, and we're not even focused on that. Now we're focused on inflation.
Although it's troubled today. It's plummeting right now.
The stock market will always reflect. They're nervous Nellies. It will always reflect what's happening. And right now, we thought they were moving in a certain direction, just not how long it would take to we're not going to do this build back bill better, which for a lot of the folks involved in the stock market meant potential money in their pocket. So that's going to be a very different thing.
I tend to use the Paul Harvey statement, or Paul Harvey would say, look, the stock market is a roller coaster. Mm-hmm. Okay. And it's like, and if you, the only people, and in a roller coaster, the only people that get hurt are the people that jump off. So let it run through its course. We're going to take a break for news. Patrick Fee is with us. We're taking phone calls today. I guess, really, what is the state? It's Christmas week. I've got a couple of stories of Christmases past that the weather has been a huge factor in Christmases past. It should not be anything of a huge factor at all. In fact, the best travel weather we've maybe ever had for Christmas is coming this weekend. We're going to get to that and more. And your stories, anything else, maybe your most memorable Christmas, good, bad, indifferent, or whatever, a Christmas you survived, or a Christmas that you thrived, a Christmas that you have particular strong memories about. We'll be back after the news.
News now. News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR.
Weather brought to you by Southeast Iowa Regional Airport and Air Choice One, making your travels easy, flying from Burlington to St. Louis and Chicago daily.
Back in the KBUR newsroom for your morning news, my name is Eden Mode. In light of the viral TikTok gun violence threat, many Southeast Iowa school districts saw a large number of student absences on Friday, December 17th. Videos of warning had been circulating on TikTok of, quote, National Shoot Up Your School Day, end quote, or, quote, American School Shooting Day, end quote, for this past Friday. The social media platform saw a large panic as TikTokers began to respond and eventually investigated the incidences, attempting to find where the information had started from. They later labeled the videos as misinformation and took some down, stumped on where the mysterious warnings originated. As for Southeast Iowa schools, many saw a huge drop in student attendance for the 17th. West Burlington was out a quarter of their students, and Danville was missing over 30%. The Burlington Community School District reported over half of their students stayed home, resulting in some quiet halls and partially empty classrooms. Many districts across the country, including local schools, saw increased police presence in the area to prepare for the threat, making sure that it was publicly being taken seriously as a deterrent and as a precaution. From the Associated Press, out of Cedar Rapids, police are are still searching for a driver who hit an officer with a vehicle before fleeing after a traffic stop. Police said Saturday that the officer fired at the fleeing vehicle after being struck by the vehicle shortly after 8:30 p.m. Friday. The confrontation began when the officer tried to pull the vehicle over in Cedar Rapids, but the driver refused to stop. After a short chase, the vehicle stopped when the road reached a dead end at a construction site. But when the officer got out to confront the driver, the vehicle spun around and accelerated towards the officer. The officer was said to have sustained minor injuries. In a few weeks, Iowa lawmakers return for the 2022 legislative session. Disability advocates say there are ways to rise above the divisive nature of politics and successfully connect with policymakers. In Esterville, Brittany Funston is the mother of Jocelyn, a 10-year-old girl living with cerebral palsy, autism, and intellectual disabilities. In recent years, Brittany has become increasingly involved in the world of advocacy. Final floor votes often happen around the start of the spring. Caregiver shortages are among the topics disability advocates expect to see debated in 2022. And those were your news headlines from the KBUR Newsroom. I'm Eden Mode.
Fox News, and I'm Chris Foster. After plans to pass it by Halloween, then Christmas, President Biden's Build Back Better economic agenda will have to wait until the new year. As West Virginia Democrat Joe Manchin tells Fox, he can't support it.
Jen Psaki at the White House is saying Senator Manchin's comments on Fox are at odds with his discussions this week with the president, the White House staff, and his own public utterances. Senator Chuck Schumer has a letter where he is pledging to bring this to the floor for a vote early next year.
Fox's Peter Ducey at the White House. Israel is restricting travel to and from the United States and several other countries because of rising coronavirus case numbers. Fox's Evan Brown on booster shots.
Moderna's preliminary data suggests their COVID-19 vaccine booster dose, that's the third shot, is providing some immunity against the virus Omicron variant.
The World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland next month is postponed until at least early summer. America's listening to Fox News.
Weather now. News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR.
Sunny today. A high up to 43 degrees. We will see wind switching to the northwest this afternoon, gusting to 20. Mostly clear tonight. A low down to 22. Then a sunny but breezy Tuesday. High to 42. Southwest winds in the afternoon, gusting to 25. Mostly clear and cold Tuesday night. Low down to 19. Northwest winds gusting to 20. Sunny on Wednesday, 37. Partly cloudy Wednesday night, 29. Mostly sunny Thursday, 52. Partly sunny Friday, 62. Right now, 31 and sunny.
The anticipation of getting to the arena. The goosebumps hit you as the lights go down and the starting lineups are announced. The epic throwdown and the buzzer beater for the win. Don't miss a beat right here.
The Hawks host Southeast Louisiana Tuesday night at 6. Brought to you by Ritter's Landscaping Home and Garden Center, courtesy door sales and service, Pizza Ranch, and by the Pilot Grove Savings Bank on News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR.
Fleming Chapel wants you to be informed about cremations. Options with cremation are limitless when it comes to burial, keepsakes, jewelry, and urns. You can have a full service with viewing and then cremation.
Loving Chapel is a local, family-owned funeral home. Your loved one never leaves our care during the cremation process. We'll help you through the final arrangement process and hopefully ease your burdens.
We invite you to experience the Loving Chapel difference. Loving Chapel, turning care into comfort.
This is Ashley Darley, Community Relations Director with the Views of Burlington. As we approach the holidays, we want to thank you and your families for your continued support through the challenges of the outgoing year and the promise in the new year. We truly appreciate your trust in our team and our services. Our residents are the heart of our community and such an important reason why the View Senior Living Communities are such a special place to live. From the Views of Burlington staff and residents, we hope that you have a safe, healthy, and happy holiday season.
I'm Peter Schachnow, CNBC. The new week isn't looking much better than the old one as stocks open sharply lower amid worries about the rapid spread of the COVID-19 Omicron variant. All those COVID worries are translating into a positive morning for vaccine stocks, though, most especially Moderna, up 8.9%. The company said studies show that a booster shot of its vaccine increased protection against the Omicron variant by 37-fold. COVID worries did not stop people from going to the movies, specifically Marvel's Spider-Man Far From Home. It took in $253 million in domestic ticket sales in its first weekend of release. That is the best of the pandemic era and the third best of all time. Some relief at the gas pump for consumers. The latest Lundberg survey shows the average price down 6 cents over the past 2 weeks to $3.41 per gallon. And Google's YouTube TV service has reached an agreement with Walt Disney that will restore ABC, ESPN, and other Disney-owned channels. Peter Schachnow, CNBC.
If you're like most people, you're probably more than a little concerned about the state of the world around us today. Strange times. The stock market, all-time highs every day. U.S. debt, never been higher right now. Dollars losing value. And let's not forget about inflation, the highest since 2008. Remember what happened in 2008. So, how do you protect your money, your retirement, your savings? Well, many people, just like you, are turning to Old Faithful to protect themselves during these difficult times. And Old Faithful is real gold and silver from the Oxford Gold Group, the kind you can actually hold in your hands and have in your IRA. No better time than the present to protect your future and the future of your family. Call the Oxford Gold Group right now, 833-928-GOLD. They will send you their free guide on investing in gold and silver and answer all of your questions. Protect your money before things get even worse out there. Call the Oxford Gold Group today at 833-928-GOLD. Oxford is here to help you protect your savings and retirement. That's 833-928-GOLD.
We love to listen to music. Some of us are ready for Christmas tunes, and some of us can wait until Christmas Day for those melodies. One song that we've heard says, "You can't always get what you want." This can be especially true this time of year. We know that the chances of getting what you want dramatically increase when you ask for what you want. Some people are more practical in the gifts they want. If you don't want jewelry or a new necktie, tell your friends and family about the new Speed Queen washing machine you want so that you can save time throughout the year on this never-ending task. Or maybe it's a new DeWalt oscillating tool that will help make so many projects easier. Tell them about a Carhartt coat to keep you warm and on trend with what all your friends are wearing. If your old grill is on its last leg, tell them about the new Weber or Charbroil grill you want for Christmas.
At Standard of Beaverdale, they have lots of amazing gifts, but if your friends or family haven't blessed you with a wish list, let Standard help you pick out something great. Please go see them at Standard of Beaverdale in West Burlington, Iowa, open 6 days a week.
Start your day with KBUR.
The morning news.
The weather.
Information you need to start your day.
Instant, up to date.
News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR. And online at KBUR.com.
Welcome back on the talk show. Memorable Christmases, good or bad or uncertain, or Christmases that you didn't think were going to be okay, didn't think you'd make it. I still remember I the two Christmases in terms of weather, and I've been here, this is 45 years.
Boy, you're old.
2022 will be my 50th anniversary in broadcasting, but 45 years in February, it'll be 45 years in February here at KBUR and Associated. Now, I've done a bunch of different stuff, but I've been doing the morning show for I started that in 2005, so what is that, 16 years of doing the morning show here. Rod Carey was on the morning show. He had health issues. He eventually passed on in 2011. You talk about, but Christmas memories in the years I've been here, Pat, 1989 mm-hmm. and 1983, dueling it out for worst Christmas weather ever. At 2019, my wife had not started teaching yet. She was working at Penny's at that time, and it turned so bitter cold so fast. I mean, it was 15, 20, 25, well, 23, 24 below zero for about a 9 day or 10 day stretch.
Wow.
And she was she caught the flu from somebody or somewhere, and was really sick all the way. she started recovering on Christmas Eve when I got sick.
Nice.
But not until but it was memorable for being awful is what it was. And the other year that I remember the most is 1983. I was going to go, and it was plan was I was going to drive up to Clinton and pick up my sister and her children, and then bring them back and have them spend the night at our house on Christmas Eve, and then bring them back on Christmas Day. She was going through a divorce. Anyway, the weather was, to put it mildly, I started out in the morning. I said, okay, I'm gonna try and get up there early because I know the weather, it was blowing. I wanted to get before the real blowing weather. I got up I started going up there, and I realized very quickly when that road between Burlington and Mediapolis. Now, mm-hmm. if you're ever on the road between Burlington and Mediapolis, where you've got a severe west wind and a lot of snow, forget about it. Just forget about it because it's. I got to Sperry. I got to buy Sperry, and I could almost get. And I said, I can't see. I couldn't see any further than you are from me. I said, this is dangerous. No. I pulled into a drive, and it took a mile for me to find it, I had to wait for a dead spot or a lull in the blustering winds. It was also 23 degrees below zero.
Oh my.
And I'm in this bitter, bitter cold. I turn around. And of course, it was a very long trip. You don't go very fast when you can't see. And so I made it back to Burlington. I sat on the couch. I said, I don't know what I'm going to do. I said, I don't think I can make it up. I don't think I'm be able to make it up that way. I can't see anything up on that road. And I sat for it was about a half an hour, and I said, you know, maybe with the way the wind is. Maybe if I were to go over towards Monmouth and towards Galesburg and then take 74 up to the Quad Cities, do the back route way, maybe I'll have more visibility. And I got, well, then I, so I, I'm going along and I'm doing better than I was doing on my way to Mediapolis. But I get, I get just outside of Monmouth.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm seeing car after car after car after car in the ditch.
In the ditch. Yeah.
And I'm thinking,
warning, dude.
Okay,
danger, Will Robinson.
Danger, danger, danger. I said, no, I can't. Obviously, this is not a safe route either. I turned around and came back. I said, I sat on the couch. I said, by that time, I said, just give me a beer. And I said, I don't know how I'm going to do that. I said, I'm not going to call yet to say I'm not going to come.
Mm-hmm.
I said, let's see if it dies down a bit. And it did. It did die down some. At least the visibility improved significantly. Sometime around, I think it was about 3:30 in the afternoon. And so I said, okay, I'm gonna take my chances and head on up there. I made it all the way up to Clinton, and I'm Highway 61. I'm bouncing. The drifts were covering up much of the roadway, so I'm trying to find a spot where, you know, not in the drifted area. And I get up to Clinton, and she's my sister. She's going through a divorce. Her husband, or whatever, soon to be ex-husband, would not let the children out, and I really can't blame him out in the weather being what it is. So I ended up. I said, okay, look, here's what we'll do. I will take you. It's my twin sister. I said, I'll take you home. We will come up first thing in the morning, and then be with your kids first thing in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And we did do that. But it was, but I can still, I still remember. It was, I stopped by. I was wondering. I said, boy, it was pretty rough going up here. I said, I went into a gas station just by off Highway 61, and I said, I'm trying to find. Do you guys have any idea what the road condition is between here and Burlington? Oh, the road's closed. Closed? I said, but I got to get home. They said. It's closed, but it's you enter at your own risk because there's no vehicle traffic there. And I I can remember I had a lighter weight car, and I can remember, and I got, and it was still, it was, the windshield was down 50 below zero, And I am, it is drifting. There's places where it's drifted all the way across, and I'm bouncing over the drifts. I finally get her, and I'm really cold. I said, why am I so cold? My sister has inadvertently pulled the vent on.
Great. So you're getting cold air blown on you the whole way, too.
I said, there's cold air, 50 below zero wind chill, and I've got cold air coming in. Anyway, made it there. We went to church. We had supper. We had we made do. We went up there and had a nice Christmas. Mm. We made do in spite of things. I think that was really the key. But, you know, I heard terrible stories about people stranded and all those cars that were in ditches and all those people, the semi trucks and people that never. And there was a number of people that never made it home at all.
Right. It takes a day or so before they're even able to dig them out.
Well, some people didn't survive because the weather was that horrific. But anyway, I'm betting you probably have a memory of.
I have a great memory. It's not a weather memory. I have done a lot of. I've had a lot of opportunities to play Santa's helper, shall we say, and some great places. And I was the go-to Santa helper in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, back one winter in the 90s. And it has nothing to do with weather. It's just everybody should have a chance to play a Santa at some point because it changes your perspective. And I was out there in a fairly poor part of Pennsylvania and basically spent the time, I was the Santa. Okay. It was 10 hours a day, from Black Friday until, the day before Christmas Eve because I had to come back to Cleveland to do a
similar thing. Was your name Chris Kringle then?
Yes. It was for 6 weeks, my friend. But what was amazing is talking to all the kids who, you know, were in need. Okay. So it wasn't I want this toy or that toy. It was, I want, a daddy to be able to find that job or, you know, cause kids are intuitive. They know what's going on in the family. And, it was amazing. I still have kept, some of those, pictures that were drawn for me and such. And so then Christmas Eve, or the day before Christmas Eve, I had to get back to Cleveland. I was really broke at the time. So I hitchhiked back. I could regale you with tales of some of the truckers and stuff who, gave me a lift. But the bottom line was it changed my attitude towards Christmas in general because it was all about the kids and all about seeing Christmas time through their eyes. And so the weather wasn't that bad that year. It just definitely I did the whole Grinch thing, you know, where the heart grew three sizes, you know, and I really realized what it's all about. And that was my coolest Christmas.
Yeah. You know, I think maybe that the fact is I think that and Todd Lang and the Toys for Tots, the Hamilton Walters people and the Toys for Tots people, you know, I think and we've been working with them for as long as they've been doing it. And the reality is that and also the Salvation Army. I mean, the fact is there's just a lot of people that sometimes they're invisible. Sometimes we just simply ignore them.
And there's another part to Christmas that I think almost everyone forgets. And that's the fact that there are families out there that maybe they've lost a child, okay? Or maybe they're really trying so hard to have one but have had issues. And I've had some friends like that. And sometimes they just want a very quiet Christmas and not making a big thing of it. And I think any of us as friends of people like that can, when we respect that and we keep it really low key, we don't block them out of our lives, but we keep it low key when we're around them. Cause some people, you know, like me, I go crazy at Christmas, helps because we can be there for them, but also Christmas may be, a difficult time for them for a year, 2 years, 8 years, whatever. And we should just be, during this Christmas time, the way we can show our hearts is by being sensitive to some needs of others who wanted to downplay Christmas.
I think the fact is my father died 2 weeks short of my 16th birthday, which was in November. It actually was the end of October, but my birthday was in November. So my mother was going through the very first Christmas where Dad wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I think the fact is you notice by an absence. The absence becomes, now, fortunately, my twin sister and I were there, so we were able to mitigate some of that. But
right.
I think, but it was the fact is, it was a very tough Christmas because it just felt, it didn't feel like Christmas. And that's really the key. We're going to take a break. We'll be back with some final words.
Here we go. Here's a quick slant and bouncing off defenders. Keegan Johnson, he's going to score. Touchdown. Touchdown, Iowa.
Tune in on Saturday, January 1st as your Iowa Hawkeyes take on Kentucky. It's the Citrus Bowl. Coverage begins at 10 right here on the Hawkeye Sports Network.
Brought to you by Ritter's Landscaping Home and Garden Center, courtesy Door Sales and Service, Pizza Ranch, and by the Pilot Grove Savings Bank on News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR.
You've put up with pain for months, and today is the day you finally decide to do something about it. You don't have to wait weeks for an appointment at Orthopedics Southeast Iowa Regional Medical Center. Call in the morning, and they often can get you in the same day or within 24 hours. Don't put up with aches and pains any longer. Get an evaluation at Orthopedics Southeast Iowa Regional Medical Center in West Burlington and Fort Madison, because your joints aren't supposed to hurt.
Just hear those sleigh bells jingling, ring-ting-tingling too. Come on, it's lovely weather for a sleigh ride together with you. Outside the snow is falling, friends are calling you. Come on, it's lovely weather for a sleigh ride together with you. Giddy up, giddy up, giddy up, let's go. Just look at the snow. We're riding in a wonderland of snow. Giddy up, giddy up, giddy up, it's grand. Just holding your hand. We're gliding along with the song of a wintry wonderland.
It is the just a few days before Christmas, Christmas Eve. We will have Christmas programming that will be on our Friday show. We'll have the history of Christmas with Ken Davis. He's going to be with me on Thursday. We've got City Council Day happening, believe it or not, on Wednesday. I believe I know we'll have Robert Kreitzer with us, and Linda Murray, I believe, will be with us as well. So.
The needs of the city do not stop simply because of the holiday.
No, and frankly, and the weather, you've seen the weather forecast for Friday, for Christmas Eve, it is 60, the predicted high is 62, 52 for Thursday, and then 47 for Christmas Day. And, you know, for those people that have gone through some of those, if I were, you know, dealing with some of the trying to get home, trying to get someplace for the holidays, you know, there's a certain, I guess what? It's, I got to make it home. You know, there's no place like home for the holidays. Right. I'm trying to make it home. I still remember trying to get up to, I remember going up to Decorah and on a Thanksgiving Eve, and we were, and an ice storm came up Thanksgiving Eve. And we were supposed to be, the whole family was supposed to be joining in Winona, Minnesota. We never got up there either.
Yeah, some people definitely have a trains, planes, or automobiles kind of a holiday.
We had deli turkey from the grocery store.
You know, but I got to tell you, I know that I'm too much of an optimist, Steve, but it's those weird things, okay, that tell you that those holidays are within our hearts and within our families and not because we're at the tree or because we've gotten the presents for the kids.
It's making do in spite of whatever external circumstances that you may be
facing.
Because
if everything goes to hell in a handbasket, you still have a story that you will tell for decades.
Anyway, I just like to wish the fact, you know, I know it's been, this has been a tough year. The last couple of years have been tough. It's been an uneven year. It's been very tough for some people. Easy, less tough for some. We've had some stimulus things that have come in. But a lot of people are dealing with job situations, job losses, job changes. That's been going on. Plus, we've also been dealing with the fact that sickness. Let's face it, we've lost 810,000 or 820,000 Americans to COVID, 5.6 million worldwide to COVID. And there have been over 250 million cases of COVID. Right. Now, obviously, that's pretty significant. Anyway, we'd like to wish you and yours a very, very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And again, make it a safe Christmas for you and your family.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry.